Well, hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again for another online service here at Lebanon Valley Bible Church. And even though we're not together, it's still great to imagine that we're together and to be gathered even virtually, to be listening to the same music, singing along, to be listening to the same sermon and the same scriptures being taught. And hopefully that's an encouragement to you. And if you notice things are a little bit different, yes, they are a little bit different. I have two volunteers who came along here this morning when we're recording this. I have Crystal over here on the piano and Dennis playing drums, and wanted to add a little more variety so you don't get tired of just seeing me and listening to me play. Maybe in the future we'll see about adding some other instruments or maybe even other vocalists. I don't know. It depends how long all of this goes on. But you know what? God truly is in control. He's a sovereign God, and we can trust in him all the time. We can have courage and put our courage and our hope in God's promises, much like Joshua did. You know, today Pastor Chan is going to be teaching on Joshua and what it looks like to have courage. And so wanted to start off how we normally have been starting off, with a children's song. And specifically today, we're going to start off with Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho. So sing along at home, and we'll learn this song together. One, two, three, four. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. You may talk about your man of Gideon, you may talk about your man of Saul, but there's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Right up to the walls of Jericho, they marched with spear in hand. Go blow them ram horns, Joshua cried, 'cause the battle is in my hand. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Then the lamb, ram, sheep horns began to blow, and the trumpets began to sound. Joshua told the children to shout that morn, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. And the walls came a-tumbling down. And the walls came a-tumbling down. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that. It was hopefully an upbeat, just change of pace with what we normally do on a Sunday morning. And these kids' songs, you know, I'm sure we'll be getting some more requests. I think maybe sometime in the future we might be having some train songs coming in for the kids. So we might be singing Bible Train one of these weeks. But as we continue on just with music and worshiping, you know, through this time when we're shut down and things have slowed down for the most part in our lives, hopefully it's time that we can reflect back on God's goodness. We can count our blessings. So let's sing Count Your Blessings together. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. You know, we can count our blessings, and we hold on to the hope that we have. And no matter what this world may throw at us, no matter what Satan may throw at us, whether temptation, whether trials, just suffering that happens, we know that God is in control of all things. And so let's just turn our attention to this next song. Whom shall I fear? The God of angel armies is with me everywhere I go all day long. You are my morning song. The darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, the troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? Strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My side, the one who reigns forever. And, you know, he's on our side, and so we can stand up for Jesus. And, you know, right now, it's hard to say what maybe theological discussions you may be getting in, or maybe who is asking you about your faith. But I want to encourage you, right now is a great time to be able to share the faith and the hope that we can have through Jesus Christ. And so be bold, be courageous, and tell people about Jesus. We're going to sing one last song before we'll go to a time of scripture, and then followed up by the message. Let's sing Stand Up for Jesus.
Let's go to the Bible for our scripture reading today. If you open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is week 6, if my count is straight, on how many times we've been getting together in this fashion, and I am ready for a new normal to get back to something that can pull us together, and we don't know what that all is going to look like. I'll have some comments on that at the end of the message this morning, so those of you from our church family, encourage you just to stick around and after the message, and we'll talk through some details of things that we've been thinking about and discussing as leadership. Right now, I'd like to just begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to look in the book of Joshua for a little bit of our time together this morning. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to meet even in this way. Thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It has the ability to reach down into the thoughts and intentions of our heart, and I pray that it would do that this morning. I pray for our time together that we would be able to learn and grow through this. Father, we look at all of the craziness of our world, and we want to see things getting back to a point in time where we can begin joining together as a church family, and we really have no way of anticipating when that might be. But we know we're getting closer, and we're excited for that day. And even in our absence from one another, it makes us so much more aware of your presence. And so take our time together this morning and use it in a great and an amazing way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A father was walking past his son's bedroom, and he looked through the door, and he happened to discover that his teenage son had cleaned his room like he had not seen it in months. And so he stuck his head in, and his son was nowhere to be found. But propped up on his pillow was an envelope, a plain white envelope, and it just said "Dad" on it. So he walked over, he picked up the envelope, and he began to wonder, I wonder where he is, and I wonder what this is about. And so he opened it up, and inside was a card, and in the card was this note. It said, "Dear Dad, it's with great regret and great sorrow that I'm writing you this letter. I have run off with my girlfriend to get married because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I've been finding real passion with Stacy, and she is such a nice girl. But I knew you would not approve of our marriage because of the kind of girl she appears to be from the outside, with her piercings, her tattoos, and her tight motorcycle clothes. And the fact is, she is quite a bit older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. Stacy promised that we will be very happy. Oh, she does own a trailer back in the woods and has a stack of firewood that's going to keep us going all winter long. We share a dream of having lots more children together. Stacy's opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, marijuana really doesn't hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves back here. We'll be trading it with other people nearby to help pay the bills. In the meantime, we're praying that science will find a true cure for AIDS so Stacy can get better. She deserves it. Oh, don't worry, Dad. I'm 17 now, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday I'm sure that we'll be back to visit so that you and Mom can get to know the grandchildren. Love, your son, Robert." And underneath, in parentheses, it says, "Over." So the father reluctantly turned over to the back of the card. They said, "P.S., Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Tommy's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than a report card that, by the way, is in the center of my desk drawer. I love you. Call me when it's safe to come home." Well, clever kid. And yes, things can always get a little bit worse than maybe what they are right now. But you know, there's been a lot of talk on social media and even over the phone and among us as a staff and with the elders of, you know, how bad is it going to get? Will it get worse than it is now? Is this as bad as it gets? When does it start getting better? And all of those things begin to play into our thought process. You know, perhaps one of the greatest voids or absences in believers within our Christian community today is that of courage. Far too often we become paralyzed by our fears. We have fears of the things that are unknown, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Where do we go from here? We have fear of failure in our lives, of what if we make a bad decision? What if we make the wrong decision? What if we make a decision that we think is really good, but then things begin to fall apart with failure of our family, failure of our marriage, failure of our business? There's also a fear of change that plays into us, and we are being forced into changes that none of us would have chosen and probably none of us could have anticipated. There's also this tremendous fear of disappointment, of being disappointed, but also a fear of disappointing others. You know, courage is the quality of mind which enables people to encounter danger. It enables us to encounter difficulty or a challenge that we're facing with a level of boldness and not with fear. You see, courage is that inner quality that both physically and mentally embraces a challenge, knowing that the odds that we're up against, humanly speaking, may be insurmountable. Courage within the context of the Christian walk demands incredible faith. It demands incredible action. What we have to understand is that courage is not simply an absence of fear, but courage at its core is the presence of faith in an unchanging God. To the world, your courage may appear to be foolish or to be risky behavior. But when you courageously and faithfully follow God's leading, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be stretched, but you'll also be confident because God will reassure you along the way. A passage of a verse of Scripture that I've heard quoted an awful lot in recent days is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, where it tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You see, courage is much more than an absence of fear. It's a confidence in God's presence. It's a confidence in God's power. Now, it's expected of us, I believe, that courage to some level will be present in every crisis. It's either going to be fight or flight, and I think that most of us in our faith, we're courageous enough that in the midst of a crisis, we can step up and we can face our fears, and we can actually work through our fears with courage. And the urgency of the situation that we're in often demands that we do that. And I don't want to diminish that kind of courage. However, I would like to examine courage from the perspective that takes initiative, whether we're in the midst of a crisis or even in the absence of a crisis. Because in the life of a believer, in the life of a Christian, courage is foundational, and it's rooted in our faith. The level of faith that we possess is going to be reflected in the level of courage that we demonstrate in our lives. Courage is able to see the potential for God to accomplish amazing things. The kind of courage that is willing to place total and uncompromised faith in God's ability to accomplish incredible acts in our lives. It's the kind of courage that will do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, every time. And it's the kind of courage that we see demonstrated in the lives of so many others. It's a courage to take a stand for what is right, even when everybody else is doing wrong. It's a courage to defend those and to care for those who cannot defend or care for themselves. It's the kind of courage that's willing to sell everything that you have, pack up, and change the course or direction of your life in response to God's call and God's leading in your life. It's even the kind of courage to lead your family through the things that we're seeing and the things that we're facing in our world today. Being committed to doing the right thing, even when others are caving into the pressures of culture. Well, an Old Testament example of this kind of courage comes in the life of Joshua. Joshua stood by Moses, and he watched, and he listened, and he learned. He saw the hand of God at work in some really amazing ways. Joshua's courage put him in some very interesting situations. He was willing to take some men at the instruction of Moses and to go out and to fight against the Amalekites and see God give victory over them. He was willing to faithfully go with 11 other spies into the land as they came into Kadesh Barnea and to spy out the land, and then to come back and defy 10 of those spies and the popular opinion that there are giants in the land and we can't go in. Joshua came back with courage and he said, with God's help, all things are possible. He was also willing to answer the call and to fulfill the task of leading Israel into battle and into the promised land as God called upon him to do that. Joshua was a man of courage. In Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to open up there. But in Joshua chapter 1, we find that at the death of Moses, God spoke to Joshua, and he had an awesome and an incredible task for Joshua to fulfill. It was beyond anything that Joshua had ever done before. The welfare of the nation of Israel, of God's chosen nation, rested on the shoulders of this one man. He had just lost his dear friend, he had just lost his mentor, he had just lost his fearless leader to death in Moses. And now the weight of the nation was resting on his shoulders. There are three primary areas of responsibility that I want you to see that Joshua was required to embrace in his life if he was going to be a successful leader and a courageous leader. But as we look at these things in Joshua's life, we also need to recognize that we need to become courageous Christians in our lives as well. And as we do, we need to embrace in a similar fashion, the same responsibilities that Joshua was called upon to embrace in his life. And so as we go through this, we'll be talking about it in the context of Joshua's life, but we'll be bringing it into the context of each and every one of our lives and how that looks and how that applies going forward. So first of all, a courageous Christian needs to accept the challenges that God places before them. You know, we can't always choose the situations. We cannot always choose the challenges, but we can always accept them and choose how we're going to respond to them. So if you have your Bible, I want you to take a look with me beginning verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land I'm going to give to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. What an incredible call of God upon Joshua's life. God's choosing and using of Joshua was not by accident. He wasn't elected by the people to the task because no one else would do it. He was God's man by God's choosing for God's task at this very time in history. I'm going to look at four of the factors that contributed to God's call on Joshua's life, because these are similar to God's calling on our life to step up and to be courageous. So four factors that contributed to God's call and using of Joshua. It begins with the circumstances that Joshua found himself in. If you look back in the text, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. When Moses died, this changed everything. There's now a void in leadership in the nation of Israel. Someone needs to step up. Someone needs to guide the people. Someone needs to provide the leadership that's going to take this people from the wilderness into the land of promise. And God had put Joshua in that situation to face those circumstances. In our lives, circumstances that we are facing right now demands courage. It demands that we step up in leadership in our homes and in our families. It demands that we step up in leadership in our community. And so look at the circumstances around you. God is not surprised by the circumstances. In fact, I believe He has orchestrated them. And He has put us where we are for such a time as this. The second thing you find in Joshua's life is he's a man that has been faithfully prepared. Joshua had been the right-hand man of Moses. He'd been very diligent. He'd been faithful. He'd been successful. Every challenge Moses delegated to him was used by God in a very particular way to teach him, to equip him, and to prepare him. If you notice the end of verse 1, Joshua is identified as the assistant of Moses. God put him in the position of being Moses' assistant, so that he could be prepared, so that he could be groomed for the task that he was being called to. Third thing you find in Moses' life is the call of God upon him. In verse 2, God says to Moses, "Arise and go, you and all of the people." Now imagine the overwhelming weight of responsibility that has just fallen on the shoulders of Joshua. Yet he was ready. He had been groomed for such a time as this. And God's call on his life erased all doubt of what he was to do. See, God does not call us to a task except that he also prepares us. He equips us. He supplies us with all that we need in order to accomplish the task that he is putting before us. The fourth thing is God's plan. God had a plan. God had a plan then, God has a plan now. If you pick up in verse 3, this is what God's plan is. "Go into the land that I'm giving to Israel," he says. "In every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I've given it to you, just as I promised." And he describes it from the wilderness of Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all of the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. "It shall be your territory." God was taking Moses, or taking Joshua into the land that he had promised to Moses, and he had promised it to his people, and he is going to walk him in and walk him through all of this. Joshua had explored the land with the spies. He knows what is there. He knows the covenant that God has given to Abraham. It's a promise of the land. And God has described the land to him. It's a promise of the seed, in that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. And it's a promise of blessing, that everyone who blesses these people will be blessed by God, and everyone who curses these people will be cursed by God. But Joshua has seen the fruit of the land. Even though it was 40 years prior to this, Joshua had walked through the land with the spies. He's tasted the milk, he's tasted the honey. And now it's time to take the land. Now the dream of those people is about to become a reality, but Joshua had to courageously accept the challenge with no excuses. Just faithful courage. Second thing we see is a courageous Christian needs to trust in God's promises. You know, as we look at the challenges that God puts before us, and as we accept those challenges and begin to step out in faith, it's going to be, from a worldly perspective, from a human perspective, it's going to be a risk of security. It's going to require that we leave the things which are familiar, and that we get shaken out of our comfort zones as we never have been before. And it's going to go against human nature. It's not going to seem natural to do it. It's going to seem as very risky business, or at least from our eyes, it will seem that way. But you realize that if it's easy, everybody can do it. And we are being called to step up as believers and go beyond what is easy. It's going to boil down to how much faith do we have, and how does that faith translate into courage? There are some promises that God made to Joshua in this passage that are quite phenomenal. And even though this was a different time and a different place, These promises have application in our lives as well. The first of these promises is the promise that God made to protect. And if you look in verse 5, God says to Joshua, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." First promise is the promise of God's protection. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This was not an empty promise. Joshua had seen incredible enemies wither and fall. He had watched the mighty Egyptians, the strongest people in the world, the strongest army in the world. He watched them melt into the midst of the Red Sea. And he'd seen the Amalekites crumble as Moses stood on the mountain holding his hands toward the heavens in prayer. Joshua was on the battlefield fighting and the enemy fell. God's faithfulness to his word in the past assured faithfulness in the present and promises faithfulness in the future. And God promised, "Nobody will be able to stand before my people all the days of your life." Second promise is a promise of God's power being with him. And God said to Joshua, "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you." It's a promise of God's power being demonstrated through Joshua in a similar way to how it was demonstrated through Moses. Joshua has witnessed what few others have ever seen. He has seen the impact of Jehovah God in the life of Moses. At this point, the majority of the people of Israel have died off. Everyone that was 20 years and older at the time of the Exodus has died, with the exception of two men. And those two men were the two spies that came back and said, "With God's help, we can do it," Joshua and Caleb. And so Joshua has seen things that no one else alive has seen. Very few in their presence had seen the plagues of God that fell upon Egypt, but Joshua saw them. Joshua had gone to the mountain with Moses. He'd seen the impact of the presence of God on the countenance of his friend and his mentor. He had stood watch outside of the tabernacle as Moses met with God. He had sat in the tent of Moses and he'd listened to the account of the burning bush, the account of confronting Pharaoh and telling the Pharaoh to let my people go. He'd watched Moses deal with one rebellion after another of the people. The very same God that had demonstrated the power to get water from the rock and manna from heaven now promises Joshua that he is going to work in Joshua and through Joshua, and that God's power will be present with him. We see it demonstrated at the first place they go when they cross over that river and they go to the city of Jericho. In the craziness of the strategy, they follow the strategy and they watch the walls come falling down. Third promise is the promise of God's presence. I know different times in settings when we're together, I'll ask for people to share some of the most precious promises of God, and this is one that almost every time is mentioned, that God promises, "I will not leave you, I will not forsake you." God's presence is promised, and for us as believers, it is a permanent promise. For Joshua, it was a permanent promise. He said, "I will not, never, ever leave you. I will not, never, ever forsake you." And so Joshua knew that with the power of God and the presence of God and the protection of God, that he could face the enemy. You see, God's presence in his life and in his leadership was something that was not merely promised, it was guaranteed. And if we're going to step out in faith as courageous believers, it's not going to be a blind faith. It's not going to be an untested faith that's foolish in our risk-taking. It's going to be founded on the promises of God. The very same God that was with Moses, the very same God that was with Joshua, is the very same God who has taken up residency inside of the believer. Isn't that an amazing thing when you stop to think about it? There is no enemy that we will face that we cannot courageously embrace, knowing that we have the protection, the power, and the presence of God in our lives. And third, a courageous Christian needs to be an obedient Christian. They need to faithfully obey the instructions that God has given. And God begins to unfold some detailed instructions for this man, Joshua. Notice in verse 6. And notice how many times the instructions are repeated. Verse 6, God speaking to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Over and over and over again, he gives those instructions to be strong, to be courageous. You see, God doesn't force us to be courageous. He gives us everything we need and equips us to be courageous. However, we must by faith trust him, and the evidence of our trust is seen in our obedience. Three levels of obedience that God required of Joshua. And let me tell you, three levels of obedience that God is asking of us if we are going to be the courageous leaders, the courageous Christians that he desires for us to be. First of all, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. How many times does it say that in the text? Strength and courage are essential. It demands more than a sheer will and determination. It demands a tried and attested faith. It demands a willingness to trust God, to follow faithfully, even when from a human perspective, it seems illogical what he's calling on us to do. Strength and courage come from having faced and defeated previous challenges, and from a confidence in the promises that God has given us. You see, strength and courage demands a response, an active response. It's not a passive response. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And it is from power, love, and a sound mind that we gain our strength and our courage, because our faith is resting in the one who is the anchor of our soul. The second thing we find that Joshua was called to do, that we're called to do, is to be observant and to be obedient. It's important that we courageously step out and follow. However, courage is not rooted in ignorance in the believer's life. Rather, courage is rooted in godly wisdom. Notice in verse 7 the instruction. He says in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that my servant, that Moses my servant commanded you." Look, listen, learn, and obey. We need to be observant and we need to be obedient according to all that the law instructs us. God's word instructs us on how we should be living and how we should be demonstrating this courage. It's more than a matter of courage and strength. It's a matter of submission. It's a matter of submission of our will, of dying to ourselves, of pursuing God's plan over and above our own plan. Of surrendering our rights and embracing his instruction. And it demands obedience. It demands a total obedience. It demands that we do the right thing in the right way, at the right time, with the right heart attitude, every time. And being observant and being obedient is hard, because we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances that we didn't choose. And yet we have to make a choice and we have to make a decision based on who we know in our Savior and what we know in his word. And then we need to be observant of that and obedient to that. A third that is so important in our obedience is be consistent and be persistent. Consistency demands that we do not turn to the left or to the right. In fact, if you look here in verse 7 again, it says, "Being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or from the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." What do you see when you turn to the right and you turn to the left? You see how the world is responding? You see how disobedient believers are responding. You see how selfish people are responding. But he says, have a consistent focus. Be consistent on following after him in the way that you're called to follow after him. Consistency demands that we don't turn. That we have a singleness of purpose. That we have a devotion to faithfulness. And persistence demands that we don't grow weary in doing that. We stay the course. We do not allow his word to depart from us. We meditate on it day and night, on his every word. And then we observe it and we do it just as it's written for us, just as it's given to us. The result? Notice what God promises to Joshua if he'll be faithful to this. And it's very similar to what God promised to Moses. And it's very similar to what God promises to us. He says, do not turn from it in verse 7 to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. If you drop down, you will find again in, in verse 8, at the end of verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, the problem is, we tend to define prosperity and success by what we see when we look to the left and we look to the right. But the way that God defines prosperity and success is very, very different. Prosperity and success, in God's definition, is we keep our focus and we stay our course, and then we realize in our lives the call that he has placed on us and the goal that he has set before us, and we follow hard after that in obedience. And the prosperity and success that we see is that we find ourselves living in the center of his will and following after his plan and his program and his agenda rather than our own. You know, this same promise is for us, prosperity and success. And so as we move forward from here, don't be satisfied to settle for simply being a survivor, but be a strong and a courageous thriver, being willing to accept the challenges that God has set before you, before your family, before our church, before our nation, not in fear, not from a sense of obligation, but as an opportunity to see God accomplishing incredible things in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. He said it three times to Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and be courageous. But you know, there are some enemies that are constantly opposing this kind of courage. And I believe that one of the greatest is the enemy of fear. We do. We have a fear of failure. We have a fear of hurt. We have a fear of harm coming to us. We have a fear of the response of others. Have you walked into the market without a mask? And notice how people avoid you and the looks that they give you? And you fear being rejected by those that are around you? We have a fear of harm. We have a fear of the unknown. And all of these fears, they're building and they're stewing and they're growing in our world and in our culture. But for the believer, we should be individuals of hope. We should be individuals of purpose. We should be individuals that know the direction that God is calling us and to courageously pursue that. I think another enemy that opposes courage is complacency or procrastination. It's very easy for us to just kind of go with the flow from day to day. And every new day potentially holds new possibilities of being paralyzed by our fears. But true courage demands that we make the best decisions and take the best actions based on what we know God has told us and who we know God is. Complacency and procrastination many times causes us to miss opportunities that God has put before us and that God has for us. Pray for your leadership here at the church. I know that you know we've never been through this before. We've never faced a pandemic. We've never faced a shutdown of our world and our culture and our facilities and our services. And so we're walking through it and we're trying to figure out, what does this look like? And how do we do our best to be courageous in our leadership and in the direction that we're taking? But we need your encouragement and we need your prayers as we go through that. Pray for the leaders of our nation. I cannot imagine what it's like for our president, our vice president, our leaders to put their head down on their pillow for a couple hours every night and try to sleep with all this going on in our world. All of the voices that are shouting, many of them shouting, you're going the right way, you're doing the right thing, and others are shouting, it's all a hoax and a conspiracy, and I don't know what to do with it, and yet they are faced with making those decisions every day in their lives. So pray for our leadership as they're going through this as well. Father, we long to be courageous. We long to honor you with our hearts, with our lives, with our families. And it's hard. It is so hard because fear is rolling through our culture like a tidal wave. And people are getting frustrated and they're getting discouraged. And I just pray that as believers that we will keep our focus, that we will keep our eyes on you, on your word, and that we will be the beacon of sense, sensibility, and hope to our culture. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take a couple of minutes just to talk to you a little bit as a church family. You know, we have been meeting through Zoom meetings with the elders, talking through some of the potential scenarios of what it's going to look like in the future, and we don't really know a lot more than you know. I've been doing a lot of reading on websites and trying to follow the news, and it appears very likely that Pennsylvania will begin opening up in a few weeks, and I'm anticipating from what I heard from the governor yesterday that they'll be doing it on a county-by-county basis, kind of the way they shut it down, only in reverse, with those facing the least amount of threat being opened up first. I don't know what that means for Lebanon, Lancaster, Dauphin County region that we're living in, but we're going to be watching that very, very closely. And in the meantime, we have a group of us leaders who are going to be getting together and talking through potential scenarios of what that looks like, depending on how quickly our region is opened up and how many people can gather at a time and where we can gather and how that will take place and what that will look like. We are going to do our very best to make wise and courageous decisions as we go through this, but we're also going to do our very best to try to keep you informed as we're sending out the weekly updates and emails. And so if you're not on the church email list and would like to be, you can contact the church office through our website and get information on how you can get added to that webpage or to that email list. Also, would encourage you be calling your friends, be calling the folks that are in your ABF classes, Sunday school classes, the groups that you hang out with at church, as well as those who may be shut in and elderly. Be making some phone calls. Just check in with them. The leadership has been trying to do that and to keep up with that. Get into our weekly email, print out your prayer list or get it copied onto your phone or your tablet so that you can be working through the prayer list together with your families. Be praying for our missionaries. We have heard from several of our missionaries around the world that are facing some pretty difficult challenges in their ministries, a lot of them trying to care for others, and so we're hoping to be able to address some of those things as well as the missions committee and the elder board work forward with that. In regards to giving, we are rejoicing in the faithfulness of God's people. We have seen so many of you giving and giving sacrificially, and by God's grace and by your generosity, we are keeping up with our commitments financially. If you have been wanting to give and not figured out quite how to do that yet, there are three ways that you can do that. You can get to our webpage and do online giving through one of your debit cards or credit cards. You may stop by the church and drop it off during regular business hours. through most of the week, there's at least one of the pastors on campus, as well as one of the administrative assistants in the office. And so if you just call ahead and let us know that you're coming, you can drop your gifts off here at the church, or you can just put a check in the mail to us, and we'll be sure that that gets deposited in a timely manner. But thank you for being so faithful in your giving. We also have been able to address a handful of needs within our church family through the Care and Share. That fund seems to have a pretty good balance in it right now, but we are using little bits out of that as needs come up. If you have a need that we can help you address, you can email me personally or one of the other pastors and let us know about that, or text us or give us a phone call. If you know of another family in the church, as you're reaching out to people, making phone calls, if you find another family in the church that has a need, please let us know about it so that we can address that. We have had families that have dropped off groceries and different things here at the church, and we're trying to distribute them the best that we can to those that we know that have needs. And God is so faithful in that, but we want to be an encouragement in helping with that. And also, if you are just discouraged and you need to get out and talk to somebody, you know, we are here through the week, and we can set up a place where we can just sit down across the table and talk and encourage you and pray together with you, and just let us know what those needs are, and we can certainly let you in the office and spend some time just talking through things with you and praying with you. We have a faithful God. And we can look at this, I've said this before, we can look at this situation we're in as a crisis, or we can see it as an opportunity. And I know when we go from day to day and it continues to build and discouragement begins to set in, our tendency is to see it as a crisis. But I really believe that God is setting the stage for something absolutely incredible for His church. And I am praying for revival, and I trust that you are as well. So stay in touch and let us know of your needs. Know that you're loved, and God bless you.